From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. It's Tuesday, April 29th. Coming up, we'll look at how student activism at the University of Illinois has changed 1 year after a pro-Palestinian encampment was formed on campus and how the administration has responded. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Four girls ranging in the age from 4 to 18 were killed Monday when a vehicle struck an after-school care building south of Springfield. Authorities say it happened in the town of Chatham at the Why Not facility around 3:20 in the afternoon, soon after most kids arrived. Three people were struck and killed outside and another indoors, according to Chatham's Deputy Police Chief Scott Tarter.
The vehicle struck multiple persons outside of the building before continuing through the building and exiting out on the west side of the structure.
Police say several others were taken to the hospital with injuries. Parents were told to pick up their children at the nearby Baptist church. The driver, who has not been identified, was being evaluated at a hospital. There's no word on whether criminal charges are pending. Illinois State Police say they are working with Chatham Police to investigate the incident and will release more details when available. Runners of the Cheer for Palestine section this weekend's Christie Clinic Marathon raised thousands of dollars for local activists facing legal charges. IPM's Mae Antar has more.
In today's political climate, protesting for Palestine comes with consequences. About eight people were charged with mob action felonies following last year's encampment at the University of Illinois. Brian Maxwell helped organize the cheer section and ran the half marathon.
Unfortunately, a year and a half later, we're still kind of out here in the community trying to draw awareness to that fact and our government's role in supporting that, both Democrats and Republicans.
Maxwell raised nearly $800 on his GoFundMe page. A quarter of it will go to legal funds and the rest to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. Mae Antar, IPM News.
The Illinois State Board of Education announced it's developing a statewide numeracy initiative aimed at providing math performance. Peter Medlin has more.
State testing scores plunged during the pandemic, but this year, Illinois' English language arts scores exceeded pre-pandemic levels for the first time. Math scores, on the other hand, haven't rebounded. It's a major reason why the Illinois State Board of Education is developing a statewide math plan. Rhonda Dawson with the State Board says she thinks there's been a focus on computational skills and memorizing formulas.
What we need to, in my opinion, do more of is relate those math skills so that students feel confident in the way that they operate in everyday life.
It starts with a needs assessment survey and a summit with math leaders, followed by a listening tour across the state for the public to share feedback. The numeracy plan will be submitted in June 2026. I'm Peter Medlin.
A new Northwestern University study credits singing for improving the mental and physical health of some older adults. Claire Lane reports.
That Sounds Good Choir. They worked with scientists who compared two groups, a weekly sing-along series of familiar tunes, and a structured choir with rehearsals leading to a virtual concert. About 87% of singers said their well-being improved, even without meeting in person. Study lead Dr. Borna Banaktapur says for people with neurocognitive disorders, music is another way to express themselves.
It's one of the last things that goes away in dementias. And if we communicate with patients through music, or they can express themselves in music, they can regulate their emotions better without being able to talk about it.
He also says singing improves lung capacity and posture.
That was Claire Lane reporting. Still to come, we'll look at how student activism at the University of Illinois has changed 1 year after a pro-Palestinian encampment was formed on campus and how the administration has responded. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly cloudy with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm and a high of 78 degrees. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm and a low of 48 degrees. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and a high of 72 degrees. An east wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with rain likely and a low of 60 degrees. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 74 degrees. And a southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, we're talking about the state of environmental activism in Illinois under a governor still interested in climate and conservation, but an administration in Washington that has other plans. Plus, a conversation about springtime and Zen Buddhism. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. It's been 1 year since students at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign broke campus rules to form a major pro-Palestinian encampment. For nearly 2 weeks, hundreds gathered near the Quad to demand the U of I pull back its financial investments from weapon companies in the State of Israel. 1 year later, the campus's political climate is in a much different state. Students are more hesitant to protest, and for many, their decision to speak out has taken a toll. IPM's May Antar and Emily Hayes have more on where those activists are today and how the U of I administration has responded to those demonstrations.
This spring semester, there aren't any tents or teach-ins on the Quad. There are just students playing, studying, and lounging around.
What is my purpose here? Like, what am I doing? Like, what am I willing to sacrifice for this cause?
Jenna says these questions are running through many activists' minds since last year's encampment. She's an organizer and a member of Students for Justice in Palestine, or SJP. We've given her an alias because she's concerned for her safety. With a new president in the White House, some are facing more consequences for speaking out. The Trump administration has revoked visas for dozens of international students at the U of I and many more nationwide for their involvement in protests. Following the encampment, the university sanctioned SJP and other student groups. Another SJP organizer, who we'll call Noor, thinks administrators are trying to make it harder to protest.
Fear-mongering is a really big tactic that the university uses, and last semester it was something that was difficult to come out from.
Last year, some weren't willing to take the risk and protest in the encampment. Community Palestinian and activist Dua El-Dessouki didn't participate. She says back then, she didn't want to get arrested and lose her ability to keep mobilizing for the cause.
You know, years ago, it was like, okay, you stand up for Palestine, that's the fight. Now we're also fighting the ability to stand up for Palestine.
Today, she says if another mass demonstration were to happen, she would really need to weigh the consequences before deciding. For several students, the decision to protest has come at a cost. According to organizers, around 8 university students and local residents were charged with mob action felonies. That's the act of coming together with the intention to commit a crime. But attorney Evan Bruno, whose firm represents 4 of the defendants, says that's not the case with his clients. He says the proof of a criminal act is supposed to come before charges, but in these cases, it's the opposite.
It's the protest itself that must be punished, and now we need to grasp at straws to find something that they did that was wrong. And that worries me.
One student protester was initially charged with felony mob action, but reached an agreement to have his charges dropped. He's chosen to remain anonymous for safety reasons. He says he wants to continue to stand up for Palestinians, but now he has to think first before deciding how.
It's a bit frustrating to not know exactly what would feel the best for me and what would where I would fit in best.
In this changing political climate, activists on the U of I campus are looking for new and safer ways to continue to fight for what they believe in. Noor, with Students for Justice in Palestine, says the group is making sure people know their rights and how to protect themselves when making their voices heard.
These precautions that we're taking are just just prove how much the university is complacent in protecting their students. And now we have to protect ourselves.
She says an encampment is not the only way to make a difference, and they are still looking for ways to take a stand. May Antar, IPM News.
And I'm Emily Hayes. The summer after the pro-Palestinian encampments, the U of I updated its policies on free speech. When the group Students for Environmental Concerns planned a protest in September, they tried to follow those rules.
We were on the steps of Follinger, and we left two stairways on both sides so people could get to class. It is our goal to, you know, make a disturbance. It is not our goal to shut down classes.
Despite the attempt, the university disciplined the student and others in the group. Speaking at a protest this month, she asked to remain anonymous because she was censured, and further censures at other protests would mean greater consequences. Her punishment was to write an essay about what she did wrong.
It was difficult to write because a lot of these things were, we were being charged with using amplified sound, we were being charged by like walking and stuff like that.
University spokesperson Robin Kaler has said Students for Environmental Concerns violated longstanding policies like obstructing pedestrian traffic and using a bullhorn within 50 feet of a classroom. She says many demonstrations have happened on campus since the recent policy changes without incident. But students say the policy, combined with what they've seen happen to other protesters, are having a chilling effect on free expression. A student with Coalición de Estudiantes Latine asked to be anonymous for fear of backlash from either the university or the Trump administration for protesting.
If they get caught, they might lose scholarships. They might, you know, remove from the school. And a lot of us, our community back home is dependent on us getting an education.
He says the policies around noise levels, space reservations, and having to identify yourself to campus staff create fear. He wants the university to roll back its recent policy changes and listen to students, saying when they protest, they're voicing a disconnect between students and administrators. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Sean Crawford, May Antar, Peter Metlin, Claire Lane, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.